The first reading is Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel message is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Two happy but exhausted parents, three wise men, many weathered shepherds, a multitude of rejoicing angels, all transfixed by a tiny baby sleeping serenely in scratchy straw. Throw in some sheep, a donkey, perhaps a camel or three, and you have a perfect picture for a Christmas card. Unless you're someone who prefers your cards to feature snowy landscapes with robin redbreasts, reindeer, ice skating children, and even these days, penguins. It's fair to say, I think, that Christmas cards depicting the baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph and his assorted well-wishers take some liberties with the accounts of Jesus' birth we find in the Gospels, squishing together as they do events that probably took a good couple of years to unfold. into one sentimental but evocative scene. But this image of beings both earthly and heavenly, adoring and even worshipping the baby Jesus, is a powerful one if only we peer behind the curtain of kitsch and ask why this baby, the baby Jesus, is so special. Committed Christians know why the baby Jesus is special. Some of us find inspiration in John's gospel, in John's declaration that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, God incarnate. In the words of the Nicene Creed, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Some of us resonate profoundly with Luke's picture of Jesus born in humble surroundings, an indication, perhaps, of the sort of saviour and Messiah he was born to be. Some of us draw meaning from Matthew's take on Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, and the Messiah of Israel, born to save his people from their sins. We each have our own reasons for believing why the baby Jesus is special, not least because of that same newborn baby is now our risen Saviour and Lord of everything. Perhaps Christmas cards showing the baby Jesus encircled by Mary and Joseph, wise men, shepherds, angels, camels, sheep, donkeys, whatever, for all their sentimentality and mashing up of scripture, perhaps traditional Christmas carols aren't too far wide of a mark. They get why the baby Jesus is special. Our reading today from Matthew's Gospel centres on the so-called wise men. These days we usually refer to them as the Magi. The Magi were sort of like ambassadors and government officials whose skill set included such things as practicing astrology and magic. If this seems strange to us, we need remember only that religion, mysticism, and politics weren't as separated and distinct then as we suppose they are now. And so the Magi, interpreting some kind of strange cosmic phenomenon as a sign, loaded up their camels and journeyed to Judea in search of a new player on the international scene. This wasn't an unusual thing in and of itself. Strange events in the night sky were often taken to herald important or significant events on Earth. But it was rather strange, perhaps, for the Magi to leave their land for Judea and arrive eventually at a smallish town on the outskirts of the much larger city of Jerusalem. In the minds of the Magi, the baby born in Bethlehem wasn't just a new player on the international stage. The baby was even more special than that, and they sought to worship him. That's what's unusual. Now, I could focus on the political dimensions at play here, on how the birth of the King of the Jews called into question Herod's right to rule. Herod, who was king not through lineage, not through heritage, but through Roman appointment. But I won't, not today. We can talk about how Jesus' kingship puts every other form of kingship and leadership in its place another day. But I do wonder why the Magi were so drawn to the newborn baby. Why they were so drawn to Jesus that they felt compelled to make their journeys in the first place to worship a baby and to give him costly and extravagant gifts. After all, the Magi were Gentiles, people who weren't Jewish, people who weren't part of God's covenant people, people who presumably didn't know all that much about the religion of the Jewish people, other than it was a strange and a bit weird. So why were the Magi, who weren't Jewish people, so drawn to this newborn baby, to this Jewish baby, this baby born king of the Jews? Who knows? The prophet Isaiah, writing many hundreds of years before Jesus was born and before his words were put on those banners up there, says that at some point Jerusalem's light would come, that the glory of the Lord would rise on the city and its people, and that the Lord's light to a world in darkness would draw people from every nation, every ethnicity, every people group to Jerusalem. When this happens, it would fulfill God's promise to Abraham, centuries even before Isaiah, that all peoples, will be blessed through him and through his descendants, the Jewish people. And if the Apostle Paul's take on things is correct, through one particular Jewish person. A person who, says Matthew, is King of the Jews, the Messiah of Israel, and God with us, the baby Jesus. God has not abandoned the Jewish people, for the Jewish people are God's people. And in this little baby, God shows neither that God has rejected Israel, nor that God has no interest in what happens to the rest of the world. Israel's God, the God of the Jewish people, by the Holy Spirit, shines God's light into the darkness of this world, drawing people from every nation, every ethnicity, every people group, to the baby born in Bethlehem. Whatever the Magi thought they were doing travelling to Bethlehem, we can be sure Matthew sees the events surrounding Jesus' birth as fulfilling ancient prophecy. And even if Matthew doesn't say so himself, at least not explicitly, we can suppose the arrival of the non-Jewish Magi in Bethlehem to worship the baby-born King of the Jews is a foretaste of the age to come, when people from every nation, every ethnicity, every people group, Jew and Gentile alike, stand before the God of Israel, basking in and reflecting the light of the world, Jesus, King of the Jews, Lord of all the earth. In saying all this, I hope to inspire you, to point you to why Jesus was and is and always will be special. But if I haven't inspired you, if you're baffled by what I've been saying, if it's left you cold, or if you just want something more concrete to reflect on, then I encourage you to go home, not now at the end of the service, but go home and look again at your Christmas cards. I don't mean the ones with robins or Santa or even penguins on them, but the ones featuring the baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph, the wise men, the shepherds, the angels, the camels, the donkeys, etc. How do your cards portray the baby Jesus? How do they show him as special? And as you look at your cards, ask yourself these sorts of questions. Why do I think Jesus is special? And why do I think Jesus is special? What does the birth of a Jewish baby boy born 2,000 years ago in the Middle East say about God's love for me now, here in Southeast London? What does Jesus' birth tell me about God, about God's love for the world, about God's love for people of every nation, every ethnicity, every people group, including me with my background and heritage? And what does the life of this baby-born King of the Jewish people, and now the risen Lord of everything that exists, what does this baby say about the life we'll be living in God's promised age to come? Ask yourself these sorts of questions, and I'm sure once you have answers, your response will be similar to what's on some of your Christmas cards at home. We will worship and adore Christ the Lord. Amen.